Asha, you got the email?
Okay, we left off yesterday. We just mamish began the tip of the sugya, where Tosfos makes an observation in the bottom of Daled and Aleph that even though there's this klal gadol that other mordiolam, the klal is not as good as we thought it was. That there are exceptions to the rule, and Tosfos goes through Rishalmi that highlights an exception: the two people sleeping, one guy bumps the other guy out, depending on who came first. So potentially a person could be potter. So how do you understand that? On the one hand, we say this exists a kosher, there's a pasuk on the mordiolam, and all of a sudden we're finding potential exceptions to the rule. So as we pointed out at the end of the show yesterday, even though this is a Yerushalmi, and you know we take Yerushalmis with the utmost seriousness, but we're looking for a raya from the Baal who would make us even more concerned, so to speak, with this idea. So the Rishonim are quick to highlight that there are multiple indications in the Talmud Bavli also that there are some exceptions to this rule. So let's see if we can kind of go through what those exceptions, what those rayas are, and see the way some Rishonim line up all these rayas in one direction, and then see perhaps some other Rishonim deflect this whole series of rayas. So putting aside the Rishonim for now, let's learn through Talmud Bavli. So Talmud Bavli is made up of two parts, made up of Mishnah and Gemara. So you can bring a raya from a Mishnah. What's the Ferish of Mishnah? There's a whole complicated story, a long Mishnah in the third parak, about two klutzes, one klutz, bigger klutz than the other. Okay, so you have one guy carrying a beam in the middle of the street, another guy carrying a barrel in the middle of the street. So the Mishnah describes, so we should really get the guys to act this out, but I'm too tired to do that, so you know what I mean. So one guy is walking with his barrel, and the guy behind him is with a beam, and the guy at the barrel stops short. And the guy with the beam goes flying into the guy with the barrel. So a Baal HaKoyra smashes into the Baal HaChavis, and now they start to scream at each other. So, you know, you've seen this all the time. You see these two guys on the bridge screaming at each other, you know, pulling out a piece of paper, writing down license plate. That's exactly what's happening here. So the Baal HaKoyra just smashed up the barrel. So the Baal HaChavis says to the Baal HaKoyra, "Why'd you smash my barrel for?" What's the response of the Baal HaKoyra? "Why'd you stop short?" So the other guy says, "What do you mean? Well, I signaled." "Well, wait, that's so simple." So Ibi says, what's the word, magic word? Amod. He says, stop, which is the halakha equivalent of a signal. So he says to him, stop, don't smash into my barrel. So then, and then the Baal HaKoyra presumably heard the stop, and he still bashed into the barrel, then he's going to be chayev. So that's what the distinction that the Mishnah draws. That if the Baal HaChavis stopped dead in his tracks without indicating such, and the Baal HaKoyra goes right into him, so then the Baal HaKoyra is mamish potter. That's the Mishnah's beferish. But if he told him to stop, and he didn't stop, so then he's going to be chayev. Now, it's interesting that I think the way American law goes, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but in terms of a car violations, I think it's always the responsibility of the guy who smashes into you from the back, right? There's no such concept. Now again, it could be because in America we have a built-in amod. The built-in amod means brake lights. So if you see a guy's brake lights, so that's the halakha equivalent of saying amod, so maybe that's why the law is the way it is. I remember I was a couple of years ago, I was driving 187th and Bennett, and I stopped at a stop sign, and somebody came plowing into me. And we got out of the car, and the person said to me, "Why'd you stop for?" And see, it's like a six-side thing that says big red bold letters that stop. I'm not sure what exactly the latest suffix was. They were held completely responsible, as it's stated in the Mishnah. I say Amod. The sign said Amod. Amod, Amod, Amod. It didn't help the fact that the other driver, the license was on probation. So it wasn't a pretty scene. I think the mice, they took the person away. I felt terrible about it, but that wasn't my problem. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, all right. Anyway, getting back to this story. There was years ago, so I was driving on the highway on the belt, and somebody decided to get onto the highway, but they thought it would be more creative rather than using the entrance lane to the highway. They decided to save some time. They went down the grass. And they tried to get onto the highway down the grass. They lost control of the car, and they slid right into the most left lane where I was driving. And I remember when, it wasn't a good scene. So I remember when the police came, and they asked the guy, "Why did you?" There were tire tracks on the grass. It wasn't like he was arguing. He why did you try to enter the highway? He couldn't really formulate a response to why he was entering the highway in such a way. So anyway, so that's what the Mishnah says. If a guy is a clear-cut peshay, a belishim sofek, so then of course the peshay is chayav. But in a situation where the first guy stops dead in his tracks and doesn't signal, doesn't say amoid, so then the guy behind is going to be potter. So come to Rishonim and raise the question, wait a second, why is the guy potter? After all, push comes to shove, what happened? He was what? The Baal HaKoyra was... He was mazik. At the end of the day, he was mazik. So you're right, he's not a bad guy. He's a shegig, he's a yoshin, he's a... But that's a dachas potter. He's an adam mazik. So how can the Mishnah say that he's potter? So this is another example where we're beginning to get a sense that not all adam maziks are necessarily going to be chayav. So again, we already have case number one. We'll leave it down. Okay. Can't reach it anymore. So we got case number one, we have the Rishalmi, about the case of the Beis Bnei Adam Yeshenim. Okay, and then we have the Mishnah, the Sugya of the Baal Ha, what? Baal Ha, Chavis, and the Baal Kari V'chori. Okay, do we have any more cases? So yes, we do. And they actually also involve a battle. So there's a Sugya beginning of the third parak of Masechet Hazav HaKama, where the Mishnah, a very famous Mishnah, Menichas Akad, a person leaves a pitcher or a barrel. The Gemara says in the end it's all the same thing. That creates a whole other sugya at the beginning of the third parak. But not for now. The Mishnah says a guy leaves a pitcher in the middle of the street, and somebody else comes and trips on the pitcher, and he breaks the pitcher. So the person who tripped is potter. If the person who trips gets hurt, so then the other guy's chayev. That's either a boar or a shore, depending on what Rav and Shmuel we spoke about in the past. But the first half of the Mishnah says that if Reuben leaves a pitcher in the middle of the street and Shimon trips on that pitcher, so the Mishnah says that Shimon is going to be potter. So the Gemara asks a strange question, which is, why is he potter? Just because the other guy left the pitcher in the street, why is that potter the shover as a chavis? Am I potter? He should have been looking where he's going. So you're right, we are not justifying leaving a pitcher in the middle of the street. What the other guy did was very, very negligent. On the other hand, when I'm walking and I see it and I smashed it, so I put another mazik. So lichtei gemara's kashi, So gemara gives you a lot of different eitzes as to what the case is, very technical mitzvahs cases, and it all boils down to one basic yisod that it wasn't really my fault. Why wasn't my fault? It was dark because the lights weren't working. No lights in the street, or perhaps it was on a corner and the way I'm walking, it wasn't even trying to have the right angle. I couldn't even see the barrel. Bottom line is tachlis. The gemara comes up with a couple of different hechetim says to explain that it wasn't really my fault. So, okay, good, it wasn't your fault. We're not mad at you, we're not screaming at you. But what do we still call you? You're still another mamazik. At the end of the day, you're still another mamazik. So we have, again, the same pizman. The beginning of the Kama, with the Chavzayin of Abayz, right? Top of Chavzayin of Abayz, where the Gemara says, Hachamaskina, Nafela, V'chule, with dark, with corners, cases where it's really, the person is not responsible for what happened. The mice, the Mishnah says, the apotter. So come to Rishon with the same story. He said, Nachum, the same story. What happened to Adam Uliyahu, Ben Eir, Ben Yoshe, Ben Ones, Ben Ratzon, Ben Sherech, Ben Meir? What happened? How come there are exceptions to this rule? So again, we're seeing three different exceptions, three different cases, but they seem to all be pointing in the same, almost the same direction. But now we're going to veer off a little bit to talk about cases that don't involve barrels and beams and a little bit more subtle kinds of nezek. We're going to jump ahead to a sugya that appears in Daf Tzadi Test in Baba Kama, a very, very important sugya on many, many different levels. And hopefully as the year goes on, we're going to keep on coming back to this sugya because there are so many different parts of this sugya. The Gemara talks about a following scenario, a very common kind of a case. I mean, the case of Chazal is not as common, but it's a very good common man as also. I hire a workman. I hire somebody to do a job for me, and I give him over something of my property, and he messes up. And he messes up to the point that he damages, he causes more bad than good. So the example that the Gemara gives is the Tabach Umen Shekilkel, that I hire a Shaykhid, he's a professional Shaykhid, he's supposed to know what he's doing, and he goes, he tries to shecht, and it turns out to be an Avela, so he caused me tremendous upset moment. Again, Avela is not also no, I could still feed it to my dogs, I could sell it to the guy. I mean, Benay knew it wasn't worth what it was supposed to be worth, so I take a big hit in terms of the value of this animal. So who has to pay? Can I turn around and say to the Shaykhid, you have the to pay? You have the pay. And again, the case of the Gemara is a Shaykhid, you want to turn it into a car mechanic, you want to turn it into a tailor on a suit, you give me a case, whatever case you want, you're an uman, you're a professional, you should have done better, and you made a mistake, and you goofed. Now what? Can I take you to a din Torah now? So the Gemara says it depends. What does it depend on? What factor? This gets very, very tricky. What does it depend on? Who knows? Who knows? That's one factor. If he's not a mumcha, that's a big problem, then he shouldn't have been doing it altogether. But even if he's a mumcha, it's not always so simple. What does it depend on? I went to the Gemara Tali test. What does it sound like? No. No? Tosis quoted it, right? Aha, Tosis quoted it. And it means you didn't look it up. Yeah. That's right. Okay. You're still getting over Tchins Mesa from yesterday. No? Who tells you without having seen the Gemara Tali test? Who can tell me what it says? Where it says Tabakhu bin Shekilkel, sometimes Chayv, sometimes Pot. What does it depend on? Is he getting what? Is he getting paid or not? If he's getting paid for his job, then he's chai. If he's not getting paid for his job, then he's potter. What do you think that means? You see a Gemara that says that, getting paid, yeah, not getting paid. No, what imagery does that conjure up in your mind? Is that a mazik type of a svar, or what is that? That's a shomer kind of a svar. We know from Shomerim that when I pay somebody, so the level of expectation, the level of achrayas significantly raises. Those are psukim and pashas mishpatim. Now, does it say that explicitly in Mishpatim? What does it say about Mishpatim? How do we know this whole idea when you pay somebody so the price of the achrayas goes up? Where did the idea come from? Every little kid knows Shem Mechinim, Shem Mesachah, Shal Sachah, no? Everyone knows this? Okay. Abba Shalom Heim. Where does it come from? Vishtate, this whole pasha. So the pashas of Mishpatim, there are two pashas, one right next to another, that are almost identical. They're both talking about Shemira, but there's a big, big difference in terms of level of responsibility. In the first pasha, the Torah says that if it gets stolen, so the person who owns the house, even the shomer, where does he go? He goes to the dayanim, goes to the beis din, and what does he do? It doesn't say. It just says he's nikra balabayis. So what does that mean? What do the words mean? Nikra balabayis? How do you know? What does he do? He comes to the beis din, waves, says hello, stands on his head, shakes the dayanim's hands. Well, what does he do exactly? It doesn't say. So it says a few psukim later, another case, it speaks about Shavuos Hashem Tia Ben Shneihem. So the Gemara derives, it says the phrase in Moshalach Yadu over here, and it says Moshalach Yadu, teaches me that when the Torah says that the Shomer comes to say that it was stolen, he comes to the Beis Din, it doesn't just mean he walks into the Beis Din and says hello, he has to swear in front of the Beis Din. So that's the Shavuos Hashomer. So again, it doesn't say Shavuos Hashomer explicitly in the first parasha, but it's derived from a series of psukim Zer Shom. It's fine. So he swears for Geneva, and what happens? Kol Nishban Shabbatar Nishban Veloha. Lomashad is a bay, finished his potter. So basically, the Torah just set up a scenario of a Shomer potter Begineva. Right? So anyone who opened up Pashmish potter realizes a Shomer is potter Begineva. What's the problem? The problem is three psukim later, what does it say? Kitain ish reyo chamo ashoch im gano viganev meimo yishalem lev alav kasha. The Torah says that a shomer is chayev on ganeva. Now, truth to be told, the Torah says if v'nishbar o nishba umeis o nishba nishba in roeh, if the animal dies accidentally, or the animal got broken accidentally, or the animal gets taken captive accidentally. So it's true this particular shomer is going to be potter, but the Torah is drawing a distinction saying, but geneva is going to be chayev. So how do you resolve this? One parsha says a shomer is chayev, one parsha says a shomer is potter. What's the answer? So it comes to Gemara, beginning of the 8th Perek of Mitzvah, and says, the Teshuva Peh fills in the details for us, and the Torah says, I'll tell you which is which. It must be, what's the difference? Pesukim tell us, a kesef ya'anes hakol, money makes a difference. That if the person's getting paid, then he has a higher level of achrayas. If the person's not getting paid, then he doesn't. So it must be that the shomer, the parsha number one, the shomer potter, this must be the shomer chinam, and the shomer, this must be the shomer sachar. Because after all, which is more kav, which is more chomer? Obviously, isn't it obvious which is more kav, which is more chomer? Who's more kav, who's more chomer? Right? Obviously, being potter from Geneva is more kav than being chayv in Geneva. And it's obvious that if you're not getting paid, you're going to be more potter. So it must be that the first parsha is Shomechinim. Everyone agree to that? Of course, I asked you that as a trick question. Does everyone agree to what I just said? No. Good answer. Excellent answer. Now, would you like to elaborate upon that answer? Not really. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rameh, about Socher. No, you're throwing me off. Too complicated. Way, way ahead of yourself. No, who's got a kasha? Is case number one more lenient on the Shomer or more chomer on the Shomer? It's a trick question. It's clearly more lenient, right? Potter Achayev, right? What's the Shaila? Oh, wait a second. There happens to be a din lurking in the background called Toein Tainas Ganov. There is a din that whatever the case of number one is, I don't know whether it's Shem Achirim, Shem Yisrael, I'm not sure what the case is, but whatever case it is, the Torah says that one of the Shemah comes to Beis Din and he says it was stolen. And he swears falsely. And he's caught. The Edim, what happens to them? I'll call Dvar, come on, I'll call Dvar, I'll call Dvar, Pesha. You got to say it with a little more excitement than that. I'll call Dvar, Pesha, I'll shore. Al-Khamor, Al-Kol Avedah, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, Ado Elohim Yavol Dibar Shneihem, Asher Yashiyun Elohim Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu. What did I just say? I just said he took a Shavua in Beis Din, and he was proven to be a liar, called Rapesh. He was lying. Yisham Shnayim L'Re'ehu, he now has to pay. Kefel. And that's what's called Toein Tainas Ganov. So comes the Gemara and says, Parsha number one, behind door number one, Parsha number one, there is Tota Beginneva, but what's the Kala being Tota Beginneva? You have the potential to become Chai of Kefel, the what? The Toein Tainas Ganov. In case number two, where the Shomer, I don't know what case number two is yet, in the case where Shomer is Chai of Beginneva, what is impossible to ever result? You can't have a Toein Tainas Ganov because that would be silly. If a Toein Tainas Ganov, they're going to say you have to pay. So Toein Tainas Ganov is predicated on the fact that you were potter, that's what the word means, you were Toein Tainas Ganov. You were towing that it was stolen, and that's a Tainas Apoter. So in case number two, when you're chiving it, whatever that case is, obviously there's no kefil. Ain't kefil, the Toein Tainas Ganov. So now, wait a second. Now it's not so simple. Who's the mach, who's the mekil? You were convinced that the first guy is the fact that he's Potter Gedeva, that shows that he's a lenient fellow. Maybe you got it reversed. Maybe the Chomerdika case is the first case, because he has the opportunity to reach Chayav capable to other guys. And therefore, maybe the first Pasha is talking about who? Who's more noted to be Chomer? When you get money, you don't get money. What? When you get money, so maybe we got it opposite. Maybe we got the whole Pasha Mishpatim upside down. Maybe the first Pasha is a Shomer Chinam. I'm sorry, it's a Shomer Socher, and the other one is a Shomer Chinam. Maybe, how do you know? Maybe that's the case. Maybe, right? Can't tell. Because after all, this is a chumrah of chayav kefil. This is a gula of ein chayav kefil. So the Gemara says, no, that is not correct. In theory, it could have gone either way, but now we have to be down the following nekuda. What's a bigger chumrah? Is it a bigger chumrah to pay keren up front, or is it a bigger chumrah to have the potential of getting burnt and having to pay kefil if and when you took a shavuah falsely? Which is the bigger chumrah? So now we have to be done. Then. Now we smart. We have to sit around and use our intellect, use our seichel yosher to try to figure out: is the chiyuv of keren for geneva, and here you have a chiyuv of kefel, but toin that is ganov. Who are we going to ask now to provide what? Who are we going to ask to provide the carrot? Weinbach. Okay. Which way is the carrot going? Which is more chumrah? Who thinks? I'm not sure. Could be either way. And finally, the Gemara concludes. You know, it's Mochamar, the Chi of Karen beginning. But Karna below Shvuah is Adifa Mikfeila B'Shvuah. That means every case of Ganav, you have to pay $100. The fact that once in a blue moon you may be towing that is Ganav B'Shvuah and Shvuah and get $800, and that'll cost you $200. That's so unlikely. So even though dollars and cents wise, that's Mochamar, but reality-wise, practically-wise, Lemaisa, when it's going to play out, it's going to play out so unlikely, therefore we're going to have to declare that Keren B'Geneva is much more chomer. And that's what led Chazal to come to the realization that the first parasha, in fact, is talking about a Shomer Chinam, and the second parasha is talking about a Shomer. So, okay, so Baruch Hashem, we just learned the first daf in Perek HaShoyo, a little bit Chazar, hopefully those who learned it before, if not, we just learned the new Masechta now. And we got a down pat. So with this background, comes the Gemara of a Kavadah study test and says, I hire a guy to shech for me, and the guy messes up big time, he turns the animal to a nevela. So one of them, a chayva potter. So the Gemara says, depends. If you pay the guy, then he's chayav. If you didn't pay the guy, then he's pater. So clearly that distinction is the Hilchos Shomrim distinction. So in effect, what Chazal is telling us is that we're viewing a tabach uman shekilkel through the eyes of Baba Metzia, through the eyes of Shomrim, not through the eyes of Baba Kaaba Vada Mamazik. If it would have been out of Mamazik, then that would have been an absurd, would have been a completely irrelevant distinction. If that is the case, so now we have to raise the following objection. What's our objection? What's that question? What's that question? But what happened to Parsha of what? What of Mazik? Where did that come? Where did that disappear into thin air? What happened? Identify what happened to Adam and Mazik. How can you tell me that we're looking at the sugya through the eyes of Shomer and we're being done? Is this guy Shomechir Shomesacha? What happened to the Parsha of Adam and Mazik? So what do you see from here? That for some deep dark secret, somehow, somewhere, the Tabach Uman Shekilkel is not subject to the parasha of Mazik, which is very, very disturbing, very troublesome, because after all, other Mordli Olam. So it's true that half the time he's going to be Chayv anyway, but it's a different Chayv Lagamrei. And the fact that we're distinguishing between Chinam and Sachar, clearly we have completely ignored, we bypassed other Mazik, and the question is why. So this is the fourth objection that the Rishonim raise. We're not done yet, everybody, so we still got a few more to go. The fifth one is an easy one, because conceptually it's the same as the fourth one. It's just another example. That's the sugya. Tosus made reference to that sugya. I don't know if anyone copped that sugya. But there's a sugya in the sixth parak above Mitzia about a mavra sachovis. What's the sugya mavra sachovis? Anyone noticed it? Anyone bumped into it? I hire a guy to do what? To carry a barrel. So a guy's carrying a barrel, and what does he do? He trips, he slumps, whatever. He breaks the barrel. Gavald, I take the guy who didn't tell you he broke my barrels. He might tell us a fascinating story in the end of the sixth pack. I know it's one of those beautiful tear-jerking stories. But one of the Amorim hired workers to carry the barrels. They were poor workers. And the guy messed up and he broke the barrel. So Zamora took the worker to a din Torah. So the psak was, the guy's a chayv to pay. You can't, in din Torah you have to paskin what the emes is, but the dayan turns around to the other person and says, listen, you know, don't make the guys pay. They're poor, don't make them pay for it. You know, they didn't really mean to do it, don't make them pay. Even though in terms of din imam, you're not allowed to paskin that way. If you paskin, well, because I want to be a rachamon, so I'm going to give an incorrect psach. That's mamshet ibas adin. That's an issur deraisa. Fidalo said the berivo. The Torah says you're not allowed to paskin. Then you have to paskin din. Then you can whisper to the guy's ears afterwards if you want to be a nice guy, do such and such. So that's exactly what happened. So they paskin that he should have been chayev, but whispered to him, don't make them pay. And then what are the guys who broke the balance of the chutzpah to say? Pay us. We can get paid for the day's work. So the guy says, what? I hired you to carry my barrels. You broke my barrels. I didn't want to get paid. You're crazy. So, what was the psak? You don't have to pay. I hire a guy to do a job for me and he messes up. I hire a guy to tailor my suit and he rips the suit in half. I don't know if to pay him. So, what did the Amara, what did the dying whisper to his ear? You pay. Why? You know, the Gemara says in the Sech Perek of Mitzia that one of the reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Second base picture of the story because Hamidud the name of Din Torah. That everybody had a Din Torah, so he ran and he said, I'm going to extract X amount of money for you, but Din Torah, Hamidud the name of Din Torah. So the Gemara says, that's the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Rishon of Baba the Kasha, but the Gemara says, other reasons. The Gemara says, what's the answer? The answer is what? That's all the same thing. He said, why are you Mamid Din of Din Torah? If you don't really, if you really love someone, let's say by mistake your brother backed this. Maybe a bad example, but let's say your brother backed his car into your car. So you're gonna go make him pay every last penny. You'll figure out an eitzah, how to do it. If you really truly love somebody, so you're not gonna extract every last pruta out of them. You're not gonna milk them out for every penny they have. You'll be nice. Make up sure a couple of ways to figure out an eitzah. So for the fact that people have needed the enamel in Torah, so that's an indication there was sinas chinam. Somebody once told me that. That if on Yom Kippur they don't clap al chayv pesinas chinam, when they get that they leave it out. Why? So it's not chinam. I got plenty of reasons why I don't like people. You don't want to be dover shekel as nechidish baruch, a big tzaddik. Okay. So the Gemara says, But you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be a Mavel Midaisav. You're supposed to go through Mishus Adin. Fine. So getting back to the Mavel Sechov. So the Gemara says that if I hire a guy, what's the Midas Adin? What is Din? What's the Mishpat? What does Din dictate? I hire a guy to move the barrels and he breaks the barrels. So what do we say? What's the Din? What does it depend upon? Oh, yeah, yeah. It depends on what? Is he getting paid enough? A new story. Is he getting paid enough? If he's getting paid, the Din is X. If he's not getting paid, the Din is Y. Who is the Shem Sachar, by the way, in Chumash? Most famous Shem Sachar in Chumash? We just read about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is not Shem Sachar. He got paid. He got cheated, but he got paid. The Rambam writes that when Yaakov Avinu was saying all the things that he did at the end of Pashas Hayetze, it says, Achalani Chor Bekech Malayla V'tidah Shnosi V'Einah Trefel Avetze. It almost sounds like Yaakov telling you, I went in the Flim Yishus Adin, I worked so hard, I came to work in the snow and the rain and the heat and everything. You know what the Rambam writes? Yaakovina wasn't bragging that he did Lefnim Rishus Adin. He was telling us he did exactly what that loch is. If a guy hires you to do a job, you have to work. I think I have to cook like love and okay, forget how to deal with him. But the mice, you have to do a job. So the Rambam is just saying that, you have to say Yaakovina is just saying that he did what he was supposed to do. So if somebody hires you, he's supposed to come in the snow, unless it's dangerous. If someone hires you, he's supposed to come when it's hot, unless it's impossible. So otherwise, he's supposed to try to work under all circumstances. That's the din. I always say that when I get to the end of Pashas Vayetze, as a Rav, I always feel a little bit better. I'll tell you what. So the feeling is that one of the most beautiful, most poignant, like speeches that are found in all of Tanakh is Yaakov's response to Laban. It's unbelievable. It's mamish. It's like every word is piercing. He turns to Laban and he says, "Zeli esrim shanim beveisecha." You can see 20 years is bottled up. Esrim shanim avadaticha. I worked hard for 14 years. For tachaleitas maskuti, I says, "Well, you tricked me 100,000 of times." And he says, "And look at what I did. Treifol eveisecha nechachatenim yadavigad. Gunuv siyom. I didn't sleep. I suffered for 20 years, and you're still trying to cheat me. And if not for Kadosh Baruch Hu, as anyivi as yigit by rochim yechavash." And Yaakov Avinu like stops, and the aliyah stops. And like, you know, the drama, you saw the two of them on stage. Yaakov just gave this, he finally stood up to Laban and he told him the truth. What did Laban say? He looks at him straight in the face and says, they're all mine. He said, you don't own anything, it's everything is mine. What a drusha. Yaakov came up with the drush of his lifetime, and what happened? Not a soul, nobody even appreciated it, nobody heard it, no one internalized it. So sometimes the rabbi gets up, he thinks he's giving the best drasha, this is the Ila drasha, the beautiful the Ila drashas, and he is the same guy as the back. The rabbi, time to start in the Ila, he's the same, not national, he's the same, he's this impassioned, you know, plea, what's Kishayfer, and the other people are still want to know when's the Kiddush for what's Kishayfer. Okay, so Rabbi Sai. So comes the Gemara with the same Pizmin above Mitzia and says that it all depends upon Mavis Achavis. Nachamul, the same story. Is it Bishar? Is it Bechinam? Frekta Rishayna. What happened to the Mamazik? What are you telling me the distinction between Chinam and Schar? For it's Adam Mamazik. So you see from here again, Adam Mamazik is not always Chayav. And finally, the grand finale. Anyone know the grand finale, the last case?
Kufiyat Aleph.
Oh, the Yisayim.
Yeah,
it's Kufiyat Aleph, right? We learned Ksubas a couple of years ago. We spent a lot of time in this because it appears that they're better Ksubas also. The Gemara tells the following din. A person passed away and he has a lot of sheep sitting around in the backyard, sitting around the barn. Okay. So the Yarshim come after Shiva and they're looking and they want to make a little Suda for the end of for Shiva and to come. So they have somebody shech one of the sheep. And lo and behold, and they eat the sheep. Well, what happened? Turns out what? It wasn't even their sheep. It was a borrowed sheep. They had mamish no idea. The father never told them that he died. The father died, never left them a will, never told them what sheep is his, what sheep is another. They went to Tzmimah stick. They went into the barn, they shechted the sheep and showed. So what does the Gemara say? They don't have to pay the full amount. They have to pay a little bit. What do they have to pay? Tmei what? Tmei basa bezot. They pay the amount of food that they would pay for a cheap meat meal. You know, they don't have to pay like exotic, you know, like sheep food. They have to pay like a lamb steak, lamb chop. What do they have to pay? A cheap hot dog or something. Whatever they would have needed to eat supper that night. They don't have to pay lamare prices. They can pay, you know, what it would cost in Golan to get a quick shawarma or something. So comes the one and says they don't have to pay more than that. So Dmei Hanah is a funny kind of thing. Anyone know where else you find the concept of Dmei Hanah? Where's the Mishnah about Dmei Hanah? Shein B'shus HaRabim. We know V'ya B'steyachi Avalo B'shus HaRabim. So the Mishnah says in the second barak that when, if an animal eats a B'shus HaRabim, so you don't have to pay for Dmei Hazek, but you pay for Dmei Hanah. Why? Because you were Nana. At the end of the day, you were Nana from the other guy's stuff. Your animal was Nana. You don't have to feed your animals today. So you have to pay them for Hanah. That's a big machlekes. Amazik is a different chiyam, but not for now. So you see, for the fact that the Gemara is talking in different language in Bava Kamma in the 10th parak about not paying for the hezek, why don't these yarshim have to pay for the entire value of the sheep? They were mazik the sheep, the shech to the guy, another guy's sheep. No, we didn't know. I'm sorry, you didn't know. It's not my problem. Adam will the oilam. So what happened? Adam will the oilam. How come in the case of Haisa Parashula v'chulei, the end of Bava Kamma, Haisa Parashula, they only pay Dmei Basa Bezol, i.e. I mean, I know they don't pay the full amount. What happened? What's going on? So I think we've collected six different cases. Six different scenarios. Now, if we had to, categorize these six, how would you categorize them? How would you place them? If you had to divide them into different categories, they're not placed very well on the board, but how would you categorize them? Which of these are very similar to one another? Which are the most similar to one another?
Four and five
are really, really similar, right? And four and five are kimat identical, right? We'll give them two stars, okay? So this sounds like there's a two-star one. What's similar about it? There's a workman. He's hired. He's talking not a mazik. He becomes a shomer. Shomechinim, shomesach. It's four, but they're a different job. Carrying barrels and shechting animals with the same basic principle. Which one is somehow legamre out of the picture? Totally in its own world? Number six is for sure. Why? Because what is unique about number six? What's unique about number six? Well, okay, that's true, but in terms of mazik, what's unique about number six? Who isn't even here?
The Baal HaSheep.
Yeah, the Nizak, namely the Baal HaSheep, right, the Mashiel, okay? He's not even here. He shows up a month later. He's not even a player here, Bechlal. So there's something unique about this case. Unlike the common denominator of these three cases, so yes, I know it's true. In the Rishalmi, it's two guys, hitting each other in the middle of the night. It's a major, nightmare going on. Okay? This guy, case number two, it's, a little traffic, on 187th or something. One guy stopping, one guy starting, etc. Fine. This case over here, it's one guy, but the person, the Nizak, or the Baal HaChavis, did something. What did he do? He put his thing in the middle of the street, so he was participating to some degree. In case number six, the guy didn't do anything. I lent the guy a sheep. That's perfectly justified. I'm allowed to lend people sheep, but I don't expect the guy's going to die right away. Since Yoshim aren't going to check who owns the sheep. So, cases one, two, and three, I would categorize them as a one star. Four and five, I would say, are two stars. Again, I'm not giving significance to the stars. I'm just trying to divide them into distinct categories. And case six is really its own world. So the question that the Rishonim deal with now, is this one sugya, or are these perhaps two or maybe even three sugyas? Is there one answer that's going to permeate the entire parasha, Mitchila V'Yatzayif, that's going to solve the Bava Kamma issues, going to solve the Bava issues, going to solve the Rishalmi issues? In one fell swoop, we can knock this whole thing out and explain why all of these dinim are true based on one Yisoid? Or do we have to start searching for multiple Yisoidis? Maybe there's one reason that will exempt 1 through 3. Maybe there's another reason that will exempt 4 and 5. Maybe there's a third reason that will exempt 6. Kind of hard to tell. Is it one sugya or multiple sugyas? So this is really where our sugya begins. We've identified the six cases in Shas, and now the question is, where do we go from here? So comes Tosfos and Daf Chav Zayin with Beis, and takes a stand on this issue, and basically Tosfos opens up by saying, don't take the Gemara about Adam will be on the Mishmar Adam will be too seriously. Don't take that line of Chazal, Bein B'Shug and Bein B'Mezah too literally. Says Tosfos, all it means is, in contrast to certain other mazikin, such as Bor, Eish, and Regal, etc., where there's a very, very low threshold of Chiyuv, and I can get away pretty simply by doing what? What do I have to do in order to get out of being Chayev for a Bor? What do I have to do to get out of being Chayev for Shein, for Regal? What do I have to do to get out of being Chayev for Eish? What do I have to do? have to do kind of a shmira. And the degree of shmira, I'm not even sure how great that degree of shmira is. Some of you may have learned the sixth parak of Avakam a little bit in the beginning of parak of Kaines. I think that piece was on the Marmakomus, if I'm not mistaken, was it? Well, these Tosas made reference to it. By the way, any Gemara Tosas quote is automatically by default on the Marmakomus, just to remind everybody. And every Gemara that Tosas doesn't quote is also by default. So the Gemara speaks a little bit later on, the sixth parak, about the degree of shmira necessary to become potter for bor, for eish, for sheril, is not that much. It's not such an degree. Let's say for bor, the Torah says, for lo yichasenu, as long as I cover the bor. I dug a bor, but I covered it. So I get off. But I mean, again, if I cover a manhole with a piece of, napkin or something, someone's going to fall right in. That's probably not a good covering. But I did some half-baked covering, and that's going to be enough. So comes Tosfos and says, when the Mishnah says Adamor Li'olam, all it means is that the degree of Chiyuv is significantly higher than all the other Mazikin, but the buck stops here at a certain point. Now, where do you think the buck would stop? If you were just analyzing what Tosfos just said, that the buck stops here, what point would you think the buck would stop? What halachic category would you call something in order to declare the buck has stopped here? If I was writing this Tosfos, what would you say? Any guesses? What kind of, once I'm telling you that Adamu L'Olam, there is a Yesh Gevul B'Davar. There's a certain point that we reach that even the Adamu L'Olam is not true. What halachic category would you call that? Oh, so I would introduce a concept called Onus L'Gamri. Why would I introduce Onus L'Gamri? Because Onus L'Gamri is something that I'm familiar with, not even from Parshas Nezikin. I'm familiar with it from other areas of an halacha. And how do we know such a concept called Onus L'Gamri? What's the Mokor? How do you know that if I did something, even though I did physically, I did the action, but I was so not in my control, I was so ne'enas, it was such an accident, it was so out of my control, so Onus L'Gamri Pasu, how do you know that? Oh, so that's Pasha Na'am Aroso. So the Gemara actually says that a little bit later on. The Gemara says, on Daf Chav Chesem days, the Gemara says, there's a Pasha in the Torah called Onus L'Gamri Patre. And the mock of that is Na'am Aroso. So here we have a person, Nebuch attacks a Na'am Aroso, and he's Mezana with her. So he's Chayim Misa, but she's not. Well, Na'ara lo sasa dover, the Torah says, don't kill the Na'ara. Why not? She also was engaged in an act of Misa's Beis Din. She was, at the end of the day, she was an Isha, Neshazish, Sheh, Zinso. She was. No, but since it was Be'ainis, it was forced upon her, it wasn't her choice, and she was screaming, she would rather never have done that. So the Torah says she's Ptur from Misa. So comes the Gemara and says, one could theoretically have learned that's a din prati in Misa's Beis Din, that you're not going to kill somebody for Tainus Oynes, but how do you know that applies outside of Misa's Beis Din? So the Gemara says, no, it applies to other dinim as well. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara never tells you how we know that. The Gemara just says it's true. The Gemara quotes you Mishnayis, right? Says that apply that tour of Oynes Chodah Patre even to cases outside of Misa's Beis Din. So that clout is true. Oynes Chodah Patre is an absolute klal in halacha. It's rooted in the Lanaros HaSadavah, and we're not quite sure how Chazam would make the jump. So if I was writing a Tosfos now, and I saw six different cases of that are exceptions to the rule, I would probably hang my hat and say, you know what, every one of these is a what? Is an Onus Gomer. And again, there are different manifestations of Onus Gomer. This guy's Onus Gomer, he's Onus Gomer, he's Onus Gomer, he's Onus Gomer. Every one of these guys along the sun is an Onus Gomer. That's what I would have said. And maybe it's true. I didn't say it's wrong. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's possibly true. But again, the basic is idea that Oynes is a poter, even though there's a cloud of other Mordli Oylam, but Onus L'Gamri Patre is still going to be Patre. If you want to say it a little bit fancier, you could say that other Mordli Oylam, that Gzeres HaKosov, means that the regular standards of Hilchos Mazikin break down. The regular Pturim of very, very minimal Shmira that is sufficient to get you out of a Chiyuv Bor, Eish, and Veregel, etc. So those halachas don't apply to a case of Adam and Mazik. So when you're dealing with a protiastic p'tur of Mazik, Adam and Mazik breaks away from all the other Mazikin. But when you're dealing with a cloud that's not a p'tur, I said the wrong word, I killed it already. When you're dealing with not a p'tur prati, you're dealing with a p'tur what? A cloud, a cloud p'tur, a general universal p'tur of kol tarkula. So the universal p'tur trumps everything. The universal p'tur says it's lo yitochein to make a person have to pay if the Lanos HaSadavar is staring you in the face. So maybe that's the background to perhaps what Shittas HaTosfos is based on, that all of these cases potentially are examples of Onus Gomer. he's chayef. He's not really chayef. He's chayef for hanah. Hanah is a different story. There's no way you could benefit from Yenim's property without having to pay for that benefit. We're not married to you. You're not a mazik even. According to some Shavim, you're not even a mazik b'chalal. It's like Shev Rechel B'Shev Saram. It's lo yitochein that you should get away. At the end of the day, you didn't have to pay for supper that night. So you can't benefit from somebody else's property. It's not really mazik in the classics.
How does this show apply to our Bava Metzia cases?
All these cases. There must be Onis Gomer.
What's Onis Gomer about it?
Oh, you want to know what's on his gummer about it? The guy tripped. Wasn't his fault.
That's considered on his gummer?
I don't know. I'm waiting to hear that. That's what I'm waiting to discuss. Okay, so my initial reaction is, the guy's mama shot his gum. What do you want? He's a sheikhid. He's been shekel 50 years and the knife slipped a little bit. Well, the guy's, he's been a professional barrel schlepper for the last 50 years. It never happened. And now all of a sudden, they tripped on something. It's on his gummer, out of his control.
Then how do we understand Adam Oleola? It seems like Adam
Olam
is like La'olam. Why
did
the Mishnah
use
that term?
La'olam doesn't mean La'olam Omeyamaya. It means most of the time. It's like Vavadol Yomam, almost La'olam. Watered down La'olam, yeah.
Also, is it possible to say that another reason why this you might possibly say is because if the Nizak does anything specifically to cause the situation to...
Wait, getting to it. Hold on. Another world. Hold on. So again, so my initial reaction would be to go down the route of Onis Gomer. Comes the Ramban. Did anyone see the Ramban? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay, it comes the Ramban about Metzia Da Pebeis, and he says the basic premise of everything we just said for the last 20 minutes is wrong. You know what the Ramban says? Three words. Now you can say it. Say it, Adam. Thank you. Says Adam on the island. What are you talking about? Adam says state Adam on the island. Then they're about to bring another ayah, and we're going to hopefully address this rather a little bit more tomorrow. The Gemara says at the end of the second parak about a guy standing on top of the roof, and what happened? What happened? A ruach what? Ruach she'ena mitzuya. Not a regular breeze comes, an ena mitzuya. And he falls down, and he smashes on somebody. What's it in? What does it say in Daf Chavav? It says chayev. How unlikely is that wind, Rabbi say? How? It's not a daily wind. It's not a regular breeze. It's a ruach she'ena mitzuya. You know what the Ramban says? You know what ruach she'ena mitzuya means? It means any and every kind of wind ever from the days of Maaseh Bereishis and on, as crazy as wild, afilu k'ruach shalwa, anyone know the phrase? Shalal yo, a wind came and blew in mamish from one place, in one part of Israel to another. It's a, what's it called? A tornado, a typhoon, a cyclone, a Wizard of Oz, you name it. Mamish is unbelievable. It blew in mamish from the land of the munchkins to the land of Oz. Mamish is, never in a million years would we have thought such a thing would happen. So state in Ramban, so state in the Gemara. So therefore the Ramban says to pull out of your hat that Lanaros Asadova is just not correct. I just a Ptor, it doesn't apply here. Rather than v'lanar l'sasdav trumping the pturim, forget the chiyav of other b'diyam pet stachasot the trumps l'nar l'sasdav. So the Ramban concludes there's no ptur. Adamur l'olam, you must be a descendant from Ramban. Adamur l'olam absolute. So now the Ramban's got to take a look at these six cases and explain away. So the Ramban's got a lot of work to do. So the truth is the first three cases are fairly simple, says the Ramban. What's easy about the first three cases? There's a whole nother factor here. There's a whole nother word here that's a bad word when you want to make somebody chayv. What is that? Pshias ha-nizuk. In case 1, 2, and 3, the nizuk is here, not only is he here, he contributed to the damage. He was pesheya. He went to sleep next to the first guy sleeping like a little baby, quiet shot, and you lay down next to him, and the first guy bopped you over there. Who told you to sleep next to the guy? So you do miss a pesheya. Case number two, the Balachavis, the Balakaira. Who told the Balachavis that Nika put the stop in the middle of the street without saying Amoid? So he's a Pesheya. The third case, what happened over here? Third case, I left my barrel in the street and it was dark. The dark of night, you tripped on the barrel. I was a Pesheya. Says the Ramban, all three cases with this Pshia Sanizak, that's a horse for a different color. It's a different story to come. Pshias HaNizak is a poter. Not out of Oynes. There's no poter of Oynes. If there's no pshias and nizak, it doesn't matter how crazy, how unlikely, it can be one in a 10 trillion cases, but afal b'chein, other mul diyam trumps everything. But when there's pshias and nizak, that it doesn't trump. The Torah never was mechayev, a person to pay, if the other guy was pshaya on his own stuff. What do you think the mocha for that is? Adam on the island. How come you're not screaming anymore? Adam on the island. Adam on the island. That's the chesbata. What's
pshat? You say that the nezek isn't coming from the other, it's not from the second person. From the
you mean the first person? Oh. So you can say this one of multiple ways. This hagdar of the Ramban. When there's pshat and nezek, it's all over. One could say, you don't have to say anything fancy. There's a svar pshuta. Well, you tochein, I should be chayiv if you're the one who made, you're the one who caused the problems. Why should I pay? Yeah. Well, if you want to put some lumdash yeshusha lingo on it, what could you say? Adam hamazik is the oilam chayiv, assuming that what? That you are the what? That you are the mazik. When there's pshias hanizak, so in a certain sense, who's at least a partial mazik? The nizak is the mazik also. What do you mean the Nizik's a mazik? It's not a mazik. The Nizik didn't take the beam and smash it into the barrel. The Nizik just put his barrel down and somebody else came and stepped on it. A pidin, when a person is pesheya, so pshia is a certain degree of mazik to it. Now, that's a tricky, tricky statement that I just said. If that's what the Ramban is driving at, that the lumdisha hagdara, why the mazik, quote-unquote, is potter, when there's pshias and nizik, is because b'chi agadim reviewed the nizik as being shnikel mazik. Is there any precedent for that? Is that just something we just made up today, 12 o'clock? There's new hagdara called pshias, is almost like a mazik? Anyone know? Anyone know which great Rishon has that line in a little bit of a different context? Rambam, the famous Jesus in Rambam. Who remembers the famous Jesus in Rambam, Bellas? Remember? He's not as famous as this one. The Rambam is a famous line of Chizchiris. The Rambam says that if I hire you to be my shomer, or I ask you to be my shomer, chinam, shomer, whatever, on karka, what's the din? What's the din? And then something happens to the karka. What's the din? You're not responsible. Avodim, shtaris. The whole parsha Shmir doesn't apply to these things. Of kakaris, avodim. Avad Hukshul Kakos, Shtaros, etc. There's no din of Shmira. You're not held responsible. Comes to Ram and says, but Medziv Amamur, you're not held responsible. That's if, let's say, something gets stolen or something in earnest happens, or whatever the case is. But if you're what? If the Shomer is what? If the Shomer is Pesheya, I ask you to please watch these documents for me. And then you leave the documents out in the middle of the street, wide open, with a big sign, put it on the hefke table, right? Next to the pizza from yesterday's lunch, next to everything else. You put it on the hefke table. So the din is that I'm chayev, says the Rambam. Why am I chayev? There's no shmira. If I'm not a shem, why am I chayev? So the Rambam says, you're true, you're not chayev al shem. What are you chayev al? Pesheya. What kind of chib is pesheya, the Rambam says? Shekol pesheya is a what? Kol pesheya is maziku. The Rambam says that a pesheya is a subcategory of mazik. It's not shomrim. It's a parshah for mazik, and therefore mazik is a karka for mishtarsus chayev. So therefore, the Rambam says that pshia is different from all the other chivishomrim. So it's a stretch a little bit, and hopefully we're going to talk about this Rambam later on, what the Rambam did or didn't say. But maybe that's something what the Rambam is alluding to, this similar kind of an idea that kol zman that is the pshias hanizok. So then we view that pshias hanizik as almost being like a shutuf in the hezek, and since the mazik himself, the real mazik is no longer the primary mazik anymore, so then you can't throw at me the book and can't throw the mission saying other modli olam. So maybe that's the pshat. So the Ramban gets away with the Yerushalmi, and the Ramban gets away with the Mishnah on daf Chavzayin. The Ramban gets away with the Chavzayin. Says later on the third parak. Those are okay. But now we start to get into problems, even according to the Ramban. Why? Because what about case number 4? I gave an animal to a professional shaykhin. Where's the pshias? I hired a guy. A guy's been carrying a load, carrying schlepping barrels for 50 years. Where's my pshia? Over here. I gave somebody an animal to watch. I didn't know he was going to die right away. And the yarshim was going to shecht it. Where's my pshia? So according to the Ramban, there has to be something else going on here. So clearly, according to Tosfos, there's one underlying principle of the entire of all these Mishnahs, all these Gemaras, and that's the degree of Einas. So it's one sugya according to Tosfos. It's all six manifestations of one sugya. But according to the Ramban, there is no such sugya. There is no halach of Einas Gemar. That 1, 2, and 3 high vibe pshias and hanizak. What about 4, 5, and 6? There's got to be something else going on. There's got to be some other reason why it's potter. So hopefully, Mitchum, tomorrow we have to find what that missing link is. What is it about cases 4, 5, and 6 that create a p'tur even according to the Ramban, and try to see how this book like it says in the Ramban play out a little bit further. Okay. Tomorrow, guys, is there? Is tomorrow a regular scheduled day or something?